Father, we thank you so much for this time and this opportunity for us to be together, to fellowship, to sit with you and reflect on the love that you have for us and the love that we have for our sisters. On a day that is so focused about just sharing that love, Lord, we are privileged that we know the true love of Christ, and that we get to experience your true love. And so we pray today as we get into your word that you speak to us, that you remind us of how deeply you care for each and every one of us, how that impacts our life, and that can encourage us to love others in the same way that you love us. Be with us today, bless our conversation, and bless our message. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we have talked about today, it's Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is a day which is all about showing love and appreciation for those who we are in some type of relationship with. I think traditionally Valentine's Day was mainly for a romantic type relationship, for significant others to go together and share their love. But in recent years, it's kind of opened up a little bit more, and we have like the Galentine's Day, friends coming together and sharing their love with one another, or even, you know, parents showing their children a little extra love on the day. So it's opened up, but in general, the heart behind Valentine's Day is to care for and reflect on and share our love with those that we are in a relationship with. I think something that's interesting about being in a relationship with somebody, a friendship, a romantic relationship, even just somebody who we've just met, is that we immediately begin to learn about that person and create ways that we get to relate with that person. We, you know, talk to them, and then we have a way, oh, I can relate to them in this way or in that way. And then if somebody were to walk up to us and say, do you know this person, we could say, yeah, I know them, and probably have at least one thing to list off, one quality. Be like, yes, this describes that person. This is a title about them, something that they do, because we've got to know them even a little bit. And the more that we get to know them, the more ways we can relate to them, the more qualities we know about them, the more titles we have for them. And we can do the same thing with our God. As we get into a deeper relationship with him, a deeper understanding of him, we have more ways to relate to God. We understand how he relates to us better, and we have more answers to the question of how do you describe your God? How does your God, your Jesus, relate to you? And so, ladies, we're going to ask that question right now. And just like a one word, what are some ways that you describe Jesus? Or will you describe what he means to you, your relationship with Jesus? What are some ways? Love. Accepting. Forgiveness. Yeah. Counselor. Caring. Mighty. Yeah. Yes, Abba Father. Yeah. So see, in just 15 seconds, we already had a handful of ways that we can relate to the Lord, a handful of names, of qualities of our God. And this Bible is full of those. There's hundreds of ways that our God relates to us and that he cares for us and the qualities that he gives to us. And so today we're going to be looking at three of those. We're not going to be able to scratch the surface of them, but we're going to look at three in particular. We're going to look at him as our Redeemer, as our friend, and as our healer. So let's look at first God as our Savior and Redeemer. We'll read in John 3:16 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so this, I think, is probably the most popular passage when preaching the gospel. I think many of us in this room have most of it memorized. You see it everywhere. You see it held up on signs, on TV, at games. You see it on the bottom of your In-N-Out cups or wrappers. You see John 3:16 everywhere. And that's because it is such an impactful verse in sharing our relationship with the Lord and in sharing what his love for us is. You see, God didn't wait for the world to turn to him. He didn't wait for everybody in the world to start to love him and know him. Instead, he loved the world already. So much so that he gave his only begotten son when the world was still acting as the world against him, full of sin, full of hate, full of evil. God said, I am going to send my son for you. And not just for one people group, one person, but for everyone. He loves everyone. And he sent his son for all of us. And in doing so, he gave us the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus, his death and resurrection, which is his love, so that we can be in relationship with him. But you see, not everybody gets to receive and benefit from God's gift. In order to do so, you have to believe in Jesus. So those who believe in Jesus then get to receive and benefit from this gift. This gift of love that actually saves us from eternal destruction. This love that is eternal in itself, that never changes. The love that God gave to us before we were with him, when we were still against him, when we were still sinning, still evil, God gave us his love. His heart is to bring salvation, rescue, hope, and healing to the world through him. He wants to redeem us into a relationship with him. Colossians 1:13 through 14 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So again, what we've just been talking about, we have been rescued by the sovereign power, rescued by our God, out of Satan's dominion, out of his dominion of evil that he has on the earth, out of temptation, out of sin, all of that. We are now rescued out of that. And everything that we have now and that we are now belongs to Christ, to God, because he rescued us. He redeemed us. The word redemption has the idea of a release by a legal ransom. And the price of our release was paid by the blood of Jesus. Our sin, our guilt is sent away because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And now we get to be in relationship with him. We are redeemed. He has bought us back. He doesn't discard us because of our sins, because of our faults, because of our mistakes. He's loved us, so he bought us back. He has freed us. We are no longer enslaved to our sin, to the world, to the expectations people have put on us. We are claimed. God has not forgotten us. God knows us, and he claims us as his daughters. We are forgiven. We are not permanently defined by our sin, by our past, by our mistakes. We are restored. We're not merely rescued out of that sin, but now we are restored to a place of righteousness with God. And we are valued because a price was paid for us. God loves us so much, he paid that ultimate price of his son's death on the cross so that we could have these things in relationship with him. The redemptive power of God is something that deeply impacts us. It's the very start of our relationship with the Lord. In order for us to be in relationship with him, we have to humble ourselves, realize our faults, realize our sins, realize our need for our Savior, and then accept that. And once we accept it, we are rooted in God's perfect love, and every aspect of our lives is impacted. No one loves us like God. We just sang that song this morning, which is so fitting. Nobody loves us like God. Nobody values us like God. Nobody has the power to free us or to give us true worth and true value. The only one who has it in our life is our God, because he loves us, he cares for us, he is our Savior, he is our Redeemer. And I think sometimes we can put this expectation on our loved ones, on those around us. maybe our significant others, our best friends, a family member, where we can put this expectation to love us like Christ loves us. And when we do so, we set them up to fail. Yes, we all should be striving to have that same type of love that Christ has for us for others. But we are fallen. We are sinful. We cannot obtain that. Those around us cannot always obtain that. And when we expect them to act as Christ in our life, to act with Christ's love in our life, then they are set up with failure and disappointment. But the good news is we don't need a significant other. We don't need somebody in our life to love us like that, to receive true love, to receive our true value, to receive our true worth, because we already have somebody. We have our Savior. We have our Redeemer who loves us and cares for us like that and who is constantly relating to us in that way. There is nobody but Christ who can bring us this redemption, who has brought us that redemption. And so we can turn to him to receive this true love, this true care, and continually relate to him in this way as our Savior, as our Redeemer, resting in his perfect love. Not looking towards others to love us in that way, but looking to Christ. And so when we relate to him, you know, our relationship starts with him, recognizing him as our Savior and our Redeemer, and then we get to know him more, it deepens. So then we grow into knowing and seeing Christ as our friend. Because Jesus doesn't only redeem us, but he invites us into a personal relationship with him, where he knows us, he loves us, and he welcomes us. Let's read John 15, verses 12 through 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. So in this passage, we see that Jesus really cares that his disciples love one another. It's very important to them that they have this love and that they do so according to the measure and quality of Christ's love for them. So he says, look at how deeply I love you. Look at this quality of the love that I have for you. Now love one another with that. He defines friendship as sacrifice. And then we see that Jesus fulfills that on the cross. It's that measure, that quality of his love for them. He says, you sacrifice for your friends. You love your friends. Now look, I am doing this for you, for my friends. And this is a pattern of the way that he expects us to love others, to sacrifice for them, to love them unconditionally, to care for them. Christ's friendship is not just sentimental. He's not just saying, you guys are my friends, but it's something that actually cost him. It had a cost for him with his death and his resurrection. And in his love, he treats these people, his servants, as his friends. Those who know Christ are not only called to serve him, to honor him, but to be a friend with him, to be in relationship with him. Biblical friendship is not something that's just casual. It's not like our friend who is an acquaintance who we call once a year. Maybe we meet for coffee every now and then, and we catch up for a few hours, and we go on our day. It's not a casual friendship. It's one that we are in a deep friendship with, constantly in communication with. He knows us. He cares for us. And we're allowing it to be transformational in our life. Friendship with Christ shapes our character and our choices. The disciples are friends with Jesus because they are obedient. See, friendship with Jesus is not disconnected from obedience to his commands, because first, he's our Redeemer. For us to know him, to be in relationship with him, we have to recognize that he is our Redeemer and recognize that place in our life. But he is also our friend. So they're both hand in hand. We get to be friends with Jesus while also being obedient to him as our Lord, as our Savior. And when we do that, we get to be a part of God's plan in our lives and in the world. Jesus didn't keep secrets from his disciples, but he openly reveals what he has received from the Father. He lets them be a part of the plan. A friend is trusted with the heart behind the plans, with, okay, I'm asking you to do this, and here is my heart behind why I'm doing this. And Jesus is inviting believers into understanding, not just obedience, but into understanding his heart, understanding who he is, and understanding his plan for us and for the world. It's a shared purpose that we now have with Christ because we get to be in friendship with him. And being in friendship with him means that we are known, we are loved, we are guided, we are forgiven, we're invited close, and we are changed for the better. Again, it is deeply impactful in our life. I think it's easy to feel lonely in today's world. For, you know, maybe your spouse is no longer with you, or you are single, or you live alone, your kids have moved out, whatever it might be. Maybe it's easy to feel like you are alone, just you. We have media, which makes us feel like we have a false sense of connection. And so it's easy, I think, to begin to feel isolated and alone. But with Christ, we don't have to have that isolation because we have that relationship, that friendship, that connection, that true friendship. And then he gives us that example of how to be a friend ourselves. So that we can first relate to Jesus. He is my friend. I'm growing in this. He is transforming me. He is impacting me. But now I am going to take this and I am going to try to be friends and be in community and relationship with those around me. Because friendship with Christ, again, it's something that's transformative. It's continually transforming our hearts. And we get to be a part of Christ's shared purpose. And how beautiful is that? And that will bring us out of that isolation, that loneliness, because now we have, there's a plan, and we are together with Christ working on this plan, the plan that he has for our life and for the world. But, you know, we live in a fallen world. There's hurt. There's wounds. We have things that happen. And so the good news is Jesus is not only our Redeemer and our friend, but he's also our healer, our comforter. He relates to us. And he not only can heal our bodies, but our inner wounds as well. Our grief, our fear, our shame, emotional pain. Jesus can heal those. Luke 4:18-19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now in the section of Luke, Jesus is reading from Isaiah 61:1-2. And the one that is speaking in this Isaiah passage is the anointed one, is the Messiah, is Christ. And in this prophecy, the Messiah announces that he came to heal the damage that sin brings. Sin does a great amount of damage in our world, in our lives. And so there must be a great work of redemption because of that. And that great work of redemption is Christ. So Christ comes to preach the gospel to the poor. Sin impoverishes. And the Messiah brings good news to the poor. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. Sin breaks hearts. It wounds. It messes up our lives, hurts us. And the Messiah has good news for the brokenhearted. He has come to proclaim liberty to the captives. Sin makes people captive and it enslaves them. And the Messiah comes to set them free. He has come for recovery of sight to the blind. Sin blinds us, and the Messiah comes to heal our spiritual and moral blindness. See, Jesus' purpose for coming is to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring freedom. John 14, 25 through 27 says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit, has sent the Holy Spirit to help us. We're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And the disciples' training that they are doing, that they have had, Jesus says it's not finished. It's not going to be finished when he dies on that cross. But it's going to be continued by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is working in us. It's changing us. It's helping us. In this passage, Jesus takes a very common goodbye, which is that peace I leave with you. It's a very common way that people would say goodbye in this time period. And he fills it with deep strength and meaning. He says, I'm not just saying peace I leave with you, but I'm actually leaving my peace with you. It's not empty. It's not just very casual the way most people say. You know, we think sometimes on the street, we just say, hi, how are you, when we're walking by somebody. But when today's culture doesn't actually want to stop and hear, how are you actually doing? It's just a casual greeting. He's not saying, peace I leave with you, just to say it, but he actually means it. He actually means that he is leaving his peace with them. The peace of the world is often based on distractions or deliberate blindness and lies. But Jesus offers a better peace, a real peace for us. With faith in God and his Son, with receiving the Holy Spirit and his peace, we can have an untroubled heart and a troubled life. When things go wrong, when we are facing challenges, when we are troubled, we can be untroubled because of these things. Having peace with God is more than a calm feeling. It's more than feeling calm for a second. But it is a deep, steady inner rest that comes from being right with God and held secure by him regardless of our circumstances. It begins with our relationship, with recognizing our Redeemer, with being reconciled to God through Christ. And then as we learn from him, as we get to know him, as we become closer friends, we get an inner rest from trusting in him. It's a steadiness that is not dependent on our circumstances. Things can change in our lives, be good, be bad, the mountains can go, but we can be steady because we have God's peace. Jesus heals broken hearts, emotional burdens, fear and anxiety, shame and regret, grief and loss, rejection and abandonment wounds, captivity of sin, spiritual guilt and separation, and so much more. He has come to heal us, to be in relationship with him, to comfort us. He doesn't pretend our pain isn't real. Instead, he meets us in it. He meets us in our pain, and he restores us through his love. I think it's very difficult to find true, complete emotional healing outside of Christ. Because often what we are met with are coping mechanisms or temporary distractions for our pain, for our wounds, for our internal struggles. You know, maybe we turn to a friend and we say, I'm just venting to my friend and that's gonna make me feel better. But maybe that's actually gossip. Maybe it's rooted deeper and it causes more harm than good. Maybe we try to distract ourselves. Maybe we go to social media, we watch movies, we keep ourselves busy, distract ourselves from our pain. Maybe we self-medicate. We, you know, that people, drugs, alcohol, food. Maybe we do whatever we can to numb that pain inside of us. Maybe we're really good at compartmentalizing. We have our boxes. We say, I have my wound. I have my pain. I'm going to put it in this box and tuck it away. And then I'm going to be fine. Or maybe we push it down and we suppress it. We say, if I just don't think about it, if I push it down as deep as I can, then I don't have to deal with this wound. Maybe we put our hurt on somebody else. We wound them because of our wounds. Or we look to somebody else and we say, that person is going to be the one that fixes my hurt. I've been hurt in the past, but I know this person's going to come in and they're going to make me feel good about myself. So then I'm not going to have to deal with that pain. But you see, all of these things never truly address the root of that pain, the root of that hurt. It just distracts us from it, pushes it away for a minute. The only one who can provide us that peace, that healing that we need, that comfort in our hurts, in our wounds, in our sorrow, is Jesus. The one who shows us true love, true care, and true value. Who we can turn to in a moment's notice. The one who rescues us, who knows us, who restores us, and whose perfect love is never going to fail us. And so on a day where we are celebrating love and the love that we have for one another, let us be confident and rejoice and praise our God for the love that he has for us, for the way that he relates to us as our redeemer, as our friend, as our comforter, and all those other ways that you have a personal relationship with him, how he relates to you, how he loves you, how he cares for you. And let us take that love that he has for us and share that with our brothers and sisters. Share that with the world. Let them taste the goodness of our God. Let us see and experience how good our God is for us. Amen? Amen. Questions, comments, thoughts, concerns?
Well, if people would truly give up all these things in the world to Christ and know that everything's in his hands, they would be well.
Right.
But Satan keeps feeding our brain with, you know, past experiences, and the past is just the past.
Right.
God is omnipresent with us 24/7.
Right.
So it is sad. I when I run into people that are living in the past, it's just such a waste of time. Because, especially if you're a situation where you got more years behind you than you do ahead of you, and you're still lamenting about the past.
Right.
And so if you're wasting the time that God has given you.
Right.
You're wasting the time of those people around you. I just wish that more, I don't wish or pray that more people would be able to just say, that's behind me. I have, you know, really good friends. I got one sitting to the left of me. She could lament all day long. Things happen all the time. She's got a family. She's got grandchildren. She's working. But you never hear this lady complain.
Right.
She's got joy for her work. She has joy for her family. She has joy for her fellowship here with us. That's an example of, I'm sorry, I'm picking on you. She truly is an example of the joy of Jesus down in her heart.
Right.
24/7.
Right. Yeah, and that's such a good point, that when we have truly experienced that redemptive power of the Lord and his peace and his comfort and his healing, then we can let go of those things of our past. They are no longer captivating to us. They no longer hold us back. And yes, we might address them as an example of our testimony to say, look, the Lord delivered me from this. He helped me from this. He can help you too. You know, it's still part of our story. We don't have to forget that thing ever happened, but we no longer let it hold us captive. We can share it and share of God's goodness and say, he worked in my life and he can work in yours. And we are filled with that constant joy and that constant comfort. It's a good point.
I think sometimes we forget that we can actually take our anger to God. and he works it out with us. I mean, if you just read any of the Psalms, they start out with, where the heck are you letting this happen to me? You know, so you can start right where you're at, and then as you begin to experience him, he just brings you into his presence and just brings you into the light of what is true, and reminds you that his grace is sufficient, reminds you that he's never left you, reminds you that he knows exactly what happened, and he knows he was there. It's nothing to surprise to our Father. So, you know, if we just kind of remember that, because, you know, instead of running away and going, even when you know you were absolutely wrong, God's right there to say, it's okay. Let me show you how much I love you as we learn how to respond differently. And that's what, you know, that's what I want to just have you guys recognize, that, you know, as we are, you know, sharing with others or teaching others, these are things that happen in my life, but I know who I can turn to, my Redeemer. I know that he is my friend, and that he's my healer. Mm-hmm. She didn't send me any notes or anything, I just made that
up. Yeah, but yeah, I think, you know, we often want to, or the expectation sometimes is, we want to come to God perfect or good or all done up. You know, I often hear when I'm out talking to non-believers, oh, I just need to get my life right before I can go to church. But if God waited for the world to be right before he sent his son, we would have never met Jesus. He doesn't wait. He doesn't want us to come to him perfect, because we're never going to be able to fix ourselves. The only way is to know God. He wants us to come to him as we are, in our anger, in our frustration, in our sin, in our faults, to come to him and to let him do the work, let him do the healing, and be with us in that. That's part of being in that relationship.
Also, too, is that when you have wounds and they're, how do you say, deep inside, and you are on the path already for the healing, and you're on the path as forgetting, even though you won't totally forget, mm-hmm. but then here comes somebody, boom, here comes somebody else, boom, remind you, oh yeah, why'd you do this, why'd you do that, why'd you say this, why'd you say that, they come back and they open that wound, right. They come back and they throw the stuff in your face, like saying, like the person who's saying it, saying like they're perfect, they know what they're saying, they know what they're doing, but yet they don't know what you've gone through. But you are on that path for that healing. You are on that path of saying, Lord, I'm giving it to you. But yet they come back and they throw that dart at you. Mm-hmm. They come back, another person will come back and they'll throw another dart. Okay, and they'll remind you constantly, right, of the past, and you don't want to be reminded of the past. Mm-hmm. You want to keep going forward, and you're working at it, right. But yet they come and they slam dunk you again, and they push you down, and you know there's a constant throwing and nagging at you and hurting you all over again. But yet at the same time, you're being strong, mm-hmm. and you're getting out of that hole, that, you know, whatever hole it may be in. But yet they come back and they stun them and they come back, yeah. You know, and then you keep looking for that healing. You keep looking for that healing, but yet.
Yeah, Morgan, what would you say to someone who kept coming back to you with the past?
That's the past.
Yeah, somebody keeps coming back to me personally with the past. I would first take it back to, you know, what is your relationship with the Lord like? You start there, first and foremost. Where are you at with God? And then you walk through how the Lord has worked in your life, in the past, in the present, the promises that he has given you in the future. Because once you see what the Lord has done in your life already, and once you read what the Lord has already done for you and for the world, it is challenging to then feel hopeless about what he is going to do in the future. And so you go back and you reflect on that. You say, okay, Lord, what have you done? What are the promises that you have given me? And how can I rest in your goodness, in your truth, and in your confidence? And then you surround yourself with that truth, with his peace, with people who are going to encourage you and build you up and push you forward, help you keep putting your eyes on the Lord. You spend your time with God to allow him to refresh you, to give you peace, to give you motivation. And unfortunately, yes, we live in a world where people are going to come, and when we least expect it, they know what buttons to push, and they're going to push our buttons. And I say, oh, you're getting your life on track with the Lord, but remember when you did that? Remember when you did that? Oh, this was your past. You can't be a Christian now. But the good news is their words aren't true. They're not the one who has the power to give you redemption, to give you peace, to give you healing. Our God is. And our God knows you. He knows your heart. He loves you, and he wants to care for you. He wants you to continue to move forward. You know, we look at Paul, who was persecuting Christians, and that's thrown back in his face multiple times. How can God be speaking through you, Paul? Look at your past. And he says, trust me, I'm not worthy of this, but the Lord has given me, he's blessed me, he has redeemed me, he speaks through me, he gives me my value, he gives me my purpose. And so yeah, people are going to come and remind us of our past, but that's just a part of our story. And that's a part of how amazing our God actually is. When we say, yeah, I was there, but look at where he has me now. Look at where I am moving towards, where I am striving for. Look at the path that the Lord has me on. We look back at that, and it's just an answer to the testimony of our Lord, because we bring it back to his goodness in our life, to his care, and to his plan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other?
As much as possible, surround yourself with people who are encouraging of your path and encouraging of your walk with the Lord, and try to stay away from the people. I know you can't always say they're family, but stay away from the people who don't cherish that. You know, we all need to be encouraged, and it's amazing after retiring, people that were negative in my life, they just aren't in there anymore. I don't have to see them at work, and they're just not in my life at all anymore. And sometimes if they're your family, your close loved ones, mm-hmm. you can't do that. But if you can surround yourself with positive people as much as possible, it could help.
Yeah, and that's, you know, why the church and your church family is so important, to be in that community, to be encouraged, to be lifted up, to have them praying for you. You know, if you know you're going to go in a situation where you're going to see somebody who has routinely been negative and brought up the past in your life, have your sisters be covering you in prayer. Say, I am going to go see this person. I just want to reflect Christ. Can you pray for me? You don't have to give up all the details. Just have them cover you in prayer. And then when you go through that situation, maybe you, if you do get discouraged, you send them a text, you give them a call, you talk to them at church on Sunday. Because we can't avoid this in our lives, unfortunately, because we need to be preaching the gospel, showing Christ's love to people, being in community, being out in the world. So we can't avoid it, but we can prepare ourselves, equip ourselves, and hopefully have ourselves be stronger to go face it. And when things are hard, then we have our Father to lean back on, and we have our family, our brothers and sisters, to support us, to encourage us, to lift us up. All right. Well, let's pray, and then we will close in a song of worship. And we still have delicious treats. I don't know about you guys, but those peanut butter cups are calling my name, and I've already had two. So go eat them before I have more. Oh, man. Yeah, so yeah, stay fellowship, and let's just keep the celebration of Christ's love and our love for each other going. Father, we are so grateful for you, for the impact that you have in our lives. You know us by name. You know every hair on our head, and you care for us. You love us. You've redeemed us. You're our friend. You're our healer, our comforter. We know that we can always come to you. And we are so incredibly grateful for that, Father. We praise you for the work that you are doing in our lives. We pray that you help us walk in these truths, that you help us continue to remember the promises that you have given us, the ways that you relate to us. My goodness, how cool is it that our Savior cares about us so deeply and personally, that we have such a long list of ways of relating to you and of things that you are in our life. Help us remember those. Help us walk in those. Help us be confident of your love, of your calling, and of your care on our lives. Strengthen us today, Father, and help us share that with those around us. We love you, we praise you, and we are so incredibly grateful for you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.